Welcome back to Community Corner Podcast, Personal Finance Edition. I'm Olivia, joined by my co-host, Rashmi.
And today we will be talking about yet another sector, the retail sector.
Right. When we say commercial and retail sector, which we'll probably be using interchangeably for this episode, we're talking about for-profit businesses involved in buying and selling goods and services.
And something that really matters a lot in this type of investment is the mantra, understand the business before you invest in it.
This means that you really have to know what company you're investing in before you invest in it, because the retail sector is so diverse. You could invest in a wholesaler, or you could invest in a restaurant or a drinks company or a clothing company. Like, it's all a part of retail. So you do really have to understand the specific company that you're investing in and also its own sub-sector.
For sure. And something just to add on to that is that you need to know what goods and services they're even selling. Like, you don't want to, you know, invest into a company that you don't agree with or you don't even like that product. You need to make sure you know the prospects of that good and what the good itself is.
Exactly. And one way that's really fun but also helpful in gauging whether or not it's a worthwhile investment to make is to actually visit the stores of the place that you are considering of investing in, and taking into account everything from the layout, availability of merchandise, prices, foot traffic, and what they're selling, as Rashmi just said, to see what a balance sheet or a financial report can actually tell you.
And especially in this digital age, it's also important to consider their online presence. How are their websites looking? Is it kind of tacky to navigate? Or is it, you know, very easy for customers to see and buy? Are there good deals online? Do they have exclusive online deals? These type of things really matter, because people are now online shopping more than they are in person.
Yeah. And you also want to look at promotional activities as well, whether it be for their online shops or their real shops. Are there a lot of ads, few ads? And that does have implications on whether or not people are going to be buying from those companies, because we might like to think that advertisements don't have that much of an impact on us, but they really do, because in the back of your mind, you'll always think of something that you saw an ad about in the future.
Yeah, and if you see something that reminds you of that ad, like, you're more prone to being like, hey, maybe this is something I should consider. So ads are definitely very, very influential, but they do cost a lot of money. So maybe looking into how much they even spend on advertising is definitely a good way to think about it.
Yeah, and it's also good to consider trends when it comes to advertising, also products, and even how much merchandise is available. Because for certain seasons, certain parts of the retail sector will have more goods available or a certain type of product that they're selling. For example, think of the holiday shopping season. You'll have all of your regular, like, clothing stores, like, let's say, TJ Maxx, Burlington, Marshalls. All of those places will have holiday-themed products to sell. And you might see differences when you visit stores during certain times of the year as well.
Yeah, like Valentine's Day, you see a lot of, like, Valentine's Day themed chocolate or more teddy bears. And for Christmas, you obviously see a bunch of ornaments or a lot of products that are branded for Christmas themselves.
Yeah, but thinking about, like, the more holistic, like, real life things that you can see when you visit a retail store isn't everything, especially since we're considering investing. So what a lot of people will do when they consider investing in the retail sector is think about the sales per square foot data, which is an indicator of how efficiently management is using stores and allocating resources.
Yeah, and this kind of varies based off on the type of product sold. For example, in the fiscal year of 2021, which ended in January 29th of 2022, Target reported sales per square foot of $437, while Lululemon reported sales of $1,443 per square foot in its fiscal 2021, which also ended in January 29th.
So Lululemon does have higher priced goods, which is probably why they're sales per square foot is higher, and Target is more moderately priced. So you can't decide that Target's not worth investing in just because their sales per square foot is different. But this is still an indicator of whether considering the price level of the product, whether that store is efficiently advertising it, whether it's efficiently setting products and actually getting sales in response to that.
And just, we kind of talked about how knowing what type of goods they're selling is very important. And this kind of shows that if you're going to Lululemon, which is a very high-ended company, you're going to see that higher price. So maybe comparing Target to a similar company, like maybe Walmart, which is a very kind of, I would say, somewhat on the same level, you might get a better idea if those, that square per foot is really what you want.
Yeah, and on the topic of comparing stores, it's also worthwhile considering the comparison of the same store from 1 year to the next. So if we say, for example, there is a Target near where you live and it's been there for 5 years, comparing their sales from this year to last year around the same time and 2 years ago around the same time is interesting to look at and see how that store is doing historically, and whether or not it's growing, whether it's losing income, etc., which will help you understand whether your investment will actually pay off in the future.
Yeah, and something else to consider is the geographic footprint. And what I mean by this is that, is this retail chain on a large scale? So for example, if we think about the restaurant Raising Cane's, it's only in a selected area of the US. It's in a region. I'm pretty sure it's in the Northeast. But if you take it, comparing it to McDonald's, I mean, that is international. You see that in America, you see that in India, you see that in a lot of different countries. And so knowing where those companies are will give you a good idea if it's worth investing in or not.
Yeah, and it'll also give you an idea of whether that company might be expanding in the future or not. Because I know that Raising Cane's has been expanding, they've been opening up more locations, but in the same vein, you can consider a huge store like McDonald's. Is it actually effectively managing all of its restaurants all across the world, or is it closing places?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I remember, this is not necessarily restaurant related, but I remember Toys R Us as a kid, and there was a lot of those all over America. But maybe after, in the span of like 5 years, maybe half of them just shut down. Everywhere you go, it says Toys R Us closed, or there's a new store in that replacement. So seeing if even though there's a lot of those stores, those have to be managed properly.
Yeah, and a lot of that relates to the debt management for major retailers, because a lot of retailers are forced to close when they have too much debt and they face some sort of economic hardship. So let's consider even the COVID-19 pandemic. If a retail chain had a lot of debt beforehand and then they're hit with this pandemic, this virus, they're not making sales, that debt is only going to accelerate, which might force them to shut down. So checking to make sure that what you're considering investing in has manageable debt is essential, because it ensures that you're not investing in a financially fragile business.
And something else to consider is that you shouldn't just invest in a company or store just because you like it. You need to make sure that it's a reliable stock or a trustworthy one, because you never know, you might like a certain company, but because of certain things that the company has said or done or negative progress that they've made, it could backfire on you.
I mean, I like to think of even local restaurants. Like, everybody has like a local restaurant that's only open in one place, only operated in a specific town. And that doesn't mean you should invest in it, because it just won't have the financial growth that you're looking for from your investments, which it also relates to the ethics of investing and what you're really looking for. But we are focusing on finding investments that will benefit us financially to improve our personal financial standing. So just because we like something doesn't mean we have to invest in it. And just because we don't invest in something doesn't mean that we can't still be interested in it or still buy from that retail chain.
Yeah, and something else to consider is the industry leaders in that industry, obviously. For example, Amazon in e-commerce, Home Depot in home improvement, Lululemon in athletic apparel, or even Ulta Beauty in beauty products in store salon treatments. Like, you need to know these companies if they are those leading industries, and that's really important to consider.
Yeah, so even if you're not a big fan of Amazon and you prefer, I don't know, eBay, that doesn't change the fact that Amazon is the major player in the e-commerce industry. Same thing goes from like Home Depot versus Lowe's. My dad loves Lowe's, but that doesn't change the fact that Home Depot is the leader in that industry.
Exactly. And investing in consumer staple sectors is a way of investing in products you use regularly. This may not be the highest earnings or revenue growth, but you know that there won't be a lot of disruption in the industry.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to what we talked about in the banking sector, even going back to healthcare, where consumer staples are something that people will always need to some extent. So historically, investing in these sort of retail chains has had very little disruption, and they're a good choice for modest growth with low price volatility in the long run.
And these are also non-cyclical, since staples like food or cleaning products are always needed regardless of the state of the economy. Think about toilet paper, for example. Like, I remember during the COVID pandemic, everyone was buying toilet paper because it was a necessity. Maybe a little too much, but it definitely was a necessity for people.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think about how when we do reach some sort of economic hardship, consumer staples might actually benefit because people will be looking to stock up for the future when they're uncertain of what's going to happen.
Yeah, and usually these have been in existence for a long time since they operate in staple sectors, and they're always in some sort of demand. Like you said, you always need food, you always need toilet paper, things of that nature.
Yeah, and because of that, these companies are able to continue functioning despite inflationary periods and price hikes, because even though the price might raise a little and inflation changes, you still need those staples. I know we're reinforcing this concept a lot, but consumer staples are a really smart place to consider investing in.
And some staples to consider are Procter & Gamble, which are Tide, Gillette, Crest, like, you know, household and personal care companies. And these are almost 200 years old.
Yeah, and another company to consider when we're talking about consumer staples is PepsiCo, which owns things like Frito-Lay, Quaker, Mountain Dew, Gatorade, etc., which just goes to show how there are certain companies that own most of the products that we think of when we want to invest in consumer staples.
Yeah, there's actually like 8 companies that own, if not all, of the staples and food that we think of. For example, Unilever. They own Dove, St. Ives, even Lipton Tea. Those are really random ones, but they're all owned by the same company. And that actually makes a huge difference in the way we view things, because we originally think these, you know, companies as competitors. But in reality, they're really not, because they're owned by the same company.
Yeah, and some of the other of those 8 major corporations include P&J, Nestle, Kraft Heinz, Kellogg's, which owns pretty much half of the cereal, and then the other competitor for cereal is General Mills, and then there's also a few more like Johnson & Johnson, Mondelez, Mars, etc. But these are the types of things that we should be considering when we think of consumer staples, because we don't want to be too niche in what we decide to invest in, but we want to look for things that we know will give us a profit in the future.
Yeah, and that's all for today for the retail sector of today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. This is Rational Radio.